Welcome to season 3 of The Skinny with Shazan. If this is your first time listening to The Skinny, I'm so happy you are here. Welcome. And if you are already a part of The Skinny family and returning with us for season 3, thank you. I am sending everyone the hugest and warmest virtual hugs right now. I'm your host, Shazan. Here we are, the premiere episode of a new season. And not only on the show, but I most certainly feel like it's a new season in our lives as well. There's so many things happening and all at the same time. Mother Nature's crying out. Our country feels upside down. Our personal lives and routines have been flipped on its heads. And in the midst of all of this, what's so amazing are the incredible conversations and movements that have been ignited and reignited. And there's so much to learn and even relearn. So this season on The Skinny, we dig deeper. We're cutting the fat and getting right down to the nitty gritty on topics that impact our lives as creators, wave makers, change makers, women, beautiful people of color, and uplifters. So I'm so excited to highlight amazing stories and facilitate impassioned voices in conversations. So eager to share with you, learn with you, grow with you, and evolve with you into even more amazing, enlightened, and empowered souls. So come on, honey bunnies, let's do this together. It's showtime, season 3. Okay. A little bit excited, can you tell? But I'm happy to be here and I'm happy that you're here with me. So, question. How many times have you found yourself saying, what the, in the last 6 months? I will tell you that you'd be surprised that you've actually been doing yourself some good and your mental health as well by actually letting it out. So stick around, you'll see how. I was very surprised at what I found. I will be sharing that with you. And let me tell you, with me today on the show is a brilliant soul, a beautiful man, talented and published artist, getting a little flustered already. Also, the senior interactive designer for a venerable law firm for the past 10 years, and it's none other than Michael Renee. We're jumping right in, and the conversation starts now. Welcome back to the show, Michael. Thank you so much for being here for the first episode of season 3. And I honestly couldn't think of anyone else that I would want to have as my first guest to share and celebrate this premiere with. And this has been a long time coming. So now we can exhale. It is here and you are here with me. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
How are you?
Doing pretty well, all things considered.
Tell the listeners a little bit about Michael Renee. Who's Michael Renee? Who's Michael Renee married to?
So, in that order?
Well, you came before you got married, so okay. You were Michael before you got married.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So a little bit about yourself.
A little bit about myself. Okay, here goes the 2 minute elevator answer.
10 seconds.
Okay, 10 seconds. 10 seconds. Escalator answer. Okay, so I'm an artist, designer, creative director. I've worn a lot of creative hats over the past 25 years. Mm-hmm. In the industry. Father, husband. Brother, son.
Who are you married to, Michael?
I am married to a wonderful creative woman, and her name is, what's her name again?
Shane.
Oh, yes, Shazan. Yes, that's her name.
Ooh, she sounds amazing. Anyway, question for you. How many times have you said whatever else you may have said if you went beyond in the past 6 months?
Definitely a good, maybe a handful of times, if not maybe one more because we're about 6 months in. So I would say about a good six times. I tend to be pretty even keeled, and but some things have definitely pushed my buttons.
Mm-hmm. How have you been coping with this year and all of its offerings so far? How do you feel you've been coping with that?
I think I've been doing rather well. Mm-hmm. A lot of things have popped up. A lot of unexpected things, some personal unexpected things, but yeah, I'm holding up.
You're holding up. So what were you thinking when your office decided, let's go back into March, pretty much at the beginning of the pandemic for us here, where everything kicked into place? So what were your thoughts, and what, before we even get to your thoughts, what did they say to you at work? I remember it being on a Friday. What, how did they notify you? How did they say, hey, we're not coming back into the office? What was that experience like for you?
A good old email. yeah, I mean, it's the firm is spread out across the offices. So, of course, we get notifications whenever something that's going to impact us firm-wide. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, we got the alerts and notifications, and they were keeping an eye on it from the days prior. Mm-hmm. So leading up to Friday, I think we just saw to finish out the week. But yeah, we didn't think anything much of it. I don't think many of us did. We thought it was maybe going to be for a week or two, mm-hmm. like most Americans.
Right.
And it hasn't.
Were you surprised, relieved, worried when you saw that your firm was going to take these measures?
I wasn't surprised because I work for a very forward-thinking, very progressive firm. So they're definitely proactive and not reactive. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I wasn't surprised. Was I relieved? I can't even say I was relieved because at that time, it didn't seem like it was going to be as big as it is now.
Right, right.
You know, we saw what was happening in Italy, and you know, but we had no idea.
Right.
Well, I guess some people did. The epidemiologist.
No name calling right now. We will save that for later if we need it. How was the transition to working from home? Because you say you thought it was just going to be a couple of weeks. So you figured, hey, work from home a couple of weeks. So after the couple of weeks passed or came to an end and you realized it was going to be extending, how was that transition for you mentally and I guess emotionally at that point? Because it's 2 weeks further into what began to seem a bit chaotic.
For me, it really wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. You hear these horror stories, for lack of a better word. You know, we see the rise of divorces and all these other things that are popping up. Mm-hmm. For me, I have a good life. So I have a solid marriage. I have a solid relationship with my children. Our children are older, so you know, we didn't have a lot of those issues that mm-hmm. you hear people dealing with. And also on top of that, I've run my own companies before I was with the firm. So I'm used to working independently or remotely mm-hmm. With teams in other cities, other locations. I've worked from home before when mm-hmm. we were in Atlanta for some years.
So this type of transition, it wasn't like, it didn't feel like a major change to, or a vast difference to anything that had been normal.
Yeah, no, for me, and I definitely as a creative, mm-hmm. I have that luxury, if you will, and taking the career paths that I've taken, I've definitely been able to know what it's like to work independently and remotely,
right.
Et cetera. You have some creative people that they've gone straight from school right into in-house mm-hmm. and or into an agency environment, and they've never worked outside or on their own. And for them, it's hard. It's, you know, so.
One thing I will say is that from the very beginning, you've been very disciplined and routined, and that has been consistent. So are you enjoying it now that it's 6 months in? Because you've gone to thinking it was 2 weeks, but now it's 6 months later. Are you enjoying it, or is this like, oh my gosh, a nightmare?
No, I'm enjoying it. I'm making the best of it, because mm-hmm. you can't really enjoy it knowing the circumstances that right. it's coming under. If it was, you know, if there was no pandemic, if there was, you know, no protests, no mm-hmm. crazy election about to happen, if, you know, if all these different things weren't happening, I think then I could actually enjoy. But because you have all these other things going on, mm-hmm. you know, you just kind of make the best of the situation.
Okay, so because, like you've told me in the past, that I'm like running around through life thinking I'm in a field of flowers. Let's look at some of the pros, because it's very easy to get swallowed into all the cons of mm-hmm. the situation and circumstances that we're faced. So what are some of the pros that you would say have come out of the past 6 months?
Personally?
Yeah.
Well, pros personally, I mean, I'm definitely able to see my family more. I'm able to see you guys more. Mm-hmm. Like I had told our son when he was still just a little guy, right before I started with the firm, I said, hey, if dad starts, and if I go in to a firm, if I do this, you're not going to be seeing me as much. Mm-hmm. I think it was in response to why I was working so hard independently.
Right.
And when you're working independently, you know, you're working, you're putting in a lot of hours.
Yeah.
So, so even independently, I was home, but I was putting in a lot of hours. Mm-hmm. And now at least I'm with the firm. I have a set schedule, which is, again, definitely a blessing. Mm-hmm. I have a great team. My team is fantastic. So as a result, I'm able to compartmentalize, you know, have a good start time, have an end time. Mm-hmm. I'm able to hand things off when I need to. And that communication is always there with my teammates. So it's definitely good.
And one of the things that is important during this time is for us to be aware of mental health, like mm-hmm. our self-care and time, and like finding things that can help us to yield joy, because you turn on the TV and there's so much coming at you, whether it's political, whether it's something that's devastating that's happening with the weather and nature, and then all of these different things, it can just really weigh on you. And it's hard. Some days feel hard, you sure. know? And so being able to see the things and the positives, like you're saying, spending more time and trying to turn that situation. Sometimes we can't always keep it turned, because we don't want to be in this false sense of positivity or reality, because then we're not really grasping being able to find that balance that's needed just to be able to flow through life mm-hmm. normally and healthy, you know. Sure. But those points, being able to spend more time with family. Another thing, I don't know if you remember this, but maybe a month or 2 months in, a lot of people started talking about how clear the air was and how it just felt different outside. And they were relating it back to how many cars were now off the roads and off the highways. And so it's like you're cutting back on gas, cutting back on commute time.
That's true.
You know, you have time at home. And one of the things too is that so many people, when you're on your schedule, and you're hustling and bustling through the routine, so many people say, oh, if I only had a day off, or, oh, if I only had some more time at home. And so now we have that. But honestly, I think it's hard to transition our minds sometimes, because the reason, which you also referenced, the reason why we now have that time at home doesn't afford us the exhale, because we are home, but there's the pandemic, there's the uncertainties, there's multiple things coming at us and things changing all the time. What to do, what not to do, where can you go, you can't go, there's a curfew, all of these things. Understandably so, even on social media, you could see that people were struggling to be able to tap into some of those things that they wanted to do, or they were finding guilt in looking at the happy side of things because of, you know, so many people are dying and the reports are flooding in daily. So it was a lot that happened in a short space of time. Like, and even before March, there was still some kind of jolting things that came into the news that affected us. And it's I made up this quick list of things. So like and I was like, oh, I felt tired just pulling all that up, because it's so much. Yeah. And you're just trying to get through the next thing, because, you know, or whatever it is that you're in at that point. It's just there were like some soul shifting events that happened. And more than likely, I would say some of those events caused us to say, like, what the? You're shocked. You know, at some point or another, it's something between the pandemic, a deadly pandemic, and then you see there's like an outpouring from around the world with people in protest and talking about racial justice and equality and all of these things. And so listen to this, like a quick rundown. So on January 9th, we got the announcement from the World Health Organization about the coronavirus in China. On the 26th, on Sunday morning, the shocking news came in about Kobe Bryant and his daughter and the other seven that passed away in the helicopter, which shook so, I mean, it just, I remember that morning. I also remember your face, and it was just so devastating. It devastated so many people. And then on February 24th, then you had Harvey Weinstein was finally convicted for rape and sexual abuse. And that had been going on for so long.
Wow.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't. I must have missed that news line.
That's what I do. I keep track of all these things. Okay. Me and my nosy self, maybe a little journalistic nosiness. But anyway, on March, that was in February. So on March 9th, the start of the global recession with the countries shutting down, like Italy and all of this stuff. And so that totally affected the Dow. And then that was like the biggest drop ever for them. So the stock market just plummeted. And on the 13th in LA is when we had 125 cases when schools and businesses closed down, which currently at that point it was like, oh, we're getting up there. It's like one day it's like 20, then another day it's like 24 new cases. So by the time we got to 124 is when they were like, okay, let's shut it down, because that felt like a lot happening. And now that's just 14.
Well, no, I was going to say, like over 14,000?
Well, there are over 260,000 cases in LA County, in our county. But then in all of California, there's over 785,000 cases. And then on the same day, on the 13th, was the murder of Breonna Taylor, the EMT and aspiring nurse that was murdered in her home by police officers. Then in April, that was a month where everyone was just struggling to with the stay-at-home orders. And then, you know, here came the birth of many bakers, crafters, gardeners, mask makers. I mean, I went through a whole stretch of that, of like making masks for frontliners, and creatives were born and reborn, because that was the time when everybody is just trying to, how are we doing this? Yeah, because this at this point was beyond 2 weeks, which is what everybody was thinking. So the Instagram live alerts were just out of this world. Like every minute somebody was going live on Instagram, but that was just people desperately trying to stay in communication. And so the family and friends that were trying to cope, there's job loss, there's financial uncertainties, you know, fear, are we going to be able to pay our rent? Are we going to be able to buy food? The isolation, inability to see and be with loved ones in hospitals, nursing homes. That was a time where it was just so heartbreaking, because the idea of your children or your parents or your significant others being in the hospital ill and you're unable to go and see them. And then there's so many frontliners with their own families and friends that, you know, you're unable to see. So that was crazy. And then came March 25th, the murder of George Floyd, where we all saw him take his last breath calling for his mother. And then I just felt like that was a matter of the tables getting flipped upside down, because you have that devastation, you have the pandemic, all of it together. And then on the 26th is when all the protests began for major change and for penalties to be brought forward. And all of that was just 3 months. That's not even all the way down to now. I just in that was, and not to mention now we have elections on our heels and the incredible importance for all of us to vote, a right that should never be taken lightly. I mean, it's so important. What's important too is for us to remember that our voice, our individual voices are important. And it does matter, because I know that so many people think like, what difference is it going to make? What difference can I make? And they get like really, you know, just down on themselves or not seeing that it makes a significant difference. Everybody's. It's really an interesting time, because most of us have more in common. It definitely is a time where you feel like there's a great divide, probably to levels that we haven't felt in recent decades. But we do have a lot more in common, and it's probably a lot more than we are aware of if we had the heart and compassion to connect with people in that way, instead of just having all of these differences and just our outlooks be our guiding light now, you know, instead of like compassion and love. So, you know, as we all struggle through our roller coaster, which is definitely what this is, it can definitely feel alone, but we truly aren't alone if we open ourselves up and realize that, you know, we really are just a bunch of people trying to navigate ourselves through a time that we've never experienced before. There's no guidebook or outline to how to do this.
True. I mean, and I mean, what I do is, and I actually just mentioned this to you, to our son the other day, I'm a huge history buff, and you know this. I mean, I'm a nerd when it comes to history. And I definitely do find solace in looking backwards, because so many times things that we're experiencing now, when you're in the moment, you think, man, no one knows what I'm going through. No one knows. No one's ever been here before. But then you look back and you realize, it might not have been exactly the same, but that time might have been comparable. And you can kind of glean some answers from that another point in time that others might have gone through. I mean, I look at now, and in our unique case, it's surprisingly good. When I think back to 2001, 9/11, we were, it had been in New York one month prior to
We September, got there in June.
We had just gotten into our apartment.
Yeah.
But at that time, we were still a newlywed couple, had a six-month-old baby. And it was one of those things where we were still not really even fully gainfully employed. You know, we had just started like kind of like jobs.
Right.
But they weren't career jobs.
Yeah, we weren't like in our established career roles at that point.
So, and you know, so we were just in survival mode, just like, you know, hey, just get a job like most people. But 9/11 happened and everything changed. In an instant,
couldn't head to the office because that area of Manhattan was closed off. You couldn't get to, you know, Slant. It was just, you know, we were just stuck.
Because we weren't far away from, you were actually a lot closer than me. We weren't far away from where
the World Trade Center was.
And so you couldn't get back in. And at the point where you were able to start going back, you had to like go through clearance with the police and showing IDs and proof that you worked down in that area. And then for me, I wasn't able to go back at that point. I was in East Village. Mm-hmm. Was it West Village or East Village? East Village?
You were
was in the village.
East. Yeah, you're in East Village.
Yeah. And so I can't remember if I was able to get back into work before you.
Yeah.
Or you were able to go in, but you just had a lot more to go through just to get into that area. There's a psychotherapist, Jonathan Alpert is his name, and he calls 2020 the year of anxiety. And I can honestly say that I agree with that. Having gone through September 11th as well, that too was definitely a year of anxiety as well. So much of the unknown is just different circumstances, but what you're going through mentally, physically, and emotionally, the anxiety definitely was there. A very scary, very, very scary time.
It was scary. And I think what also happened at that point, again, we're speaking in the micro. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're experiencing the macro of the pandemic. But in the micro, in New York, 2001, that was right on the heels of the technology bubble that popped?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, a lot of listeners might not remember, but the dot-com boom was amazing. You had Yahoo and you had these other companies that were doing amazing. And when that bubble popped, a lot of jobs went out the window.
Yeah.
And then 9/11 happened, and that was just a nail in a coffin.
Mm-hmm.
So it was for a good rest of that year, rest of 2001, going into the winter, going into, you know, into 2002.
Yeah.
That people were hurting.
Yeah.
And you talk about the stock market, the stock market had plummeted, and it was tough. Mm-hmm. Again, in the micro, in New York at that moment in time. So when I look at how we're doing right now, these years later, sure, it's a macro world issue that we're experiencing right now. But thankfully, again, I always say thankfully, thank God, you know, we're hanging in there. Mm-hmm. I've been saying for the past 6 months, I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yes, yes. That is definitely the word of the house or the phrase of the house. I mean, that's how we're going through everything. And one of the things that I will say came out of this was the realization for me, because even with the podcast, plans for me was to have the premiere of season 3 happening in 2018. But with you getting your job promotion and everything happening around the same time that I had planned for things to happen, that became a huge, huge move for us as a family transitioning here.
And I'll just, you know, interject for a moment.
Go right ahead.
But asking, turning the tables, how did you feel in 2018? Because I remember the reason being, we had spoken about this and we had looked at our family, as we always do. We're always looking at what's best for us. I know you had looked at the children and said, okay, look, what's best for them right now?
Mm-hmm.
And you made the decision. And I always put it on you and say that, you know, you made the decision and I just agreed with it.
You made a decision to do what?
To step back and pull away from your career from CNN.
Yeah.
So because that wasn't something that I was going to put on you and say, hey, you know, you need to, you know, get in the kitchen and barefoot. And, you know, that's not me.
Right.
So I'm from day one, from before day one, when we were just, you know, courting and talking on the phone, I was always courting.
Mm.
I was always, you know, supportive of your career and seeing, you know, go after it. So to see, you know, you accomplish the different things you were accomplishing, that was awesome, you know, and that was great. And I was very supportive and happy for you. But definitely, when in looking at the children and you pull back, after you did that, that's why I was actually, when the position, I was able to entertain the position of, okay, well, moving out to the West Coast.
Right.
Because if you were still at CNN, I wouldn't even have bothered.
Right.
So, but it was just, I always say it was like the perfect timing.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. But how do you feel? Because we've lived on the East Coast, we've lived in New York, Florida, Atlanta, and now we're here. You know, like, what do you like best? I mean, or do you like it best?
First, how do I feel and do I like it? How do I feel about pulling back in my career? The time when I did, I definitely felt that it was the right timing for me to do that. Leading up to that point, our careers had flourished tremendously, I would say, from the time when we got married and going through our goals. And, you know, it's like I'm gassing up your engine, you're gassing up mine. And it's like, we're going to hit it. This is what we want to do. These are our careers. We're going to go after it. And so we're like humping through it with our babies on our backs sometimes, you know, and doing what we have to do. So much had happened in our careers. We had grown so much and gotten to an amazing point where I was with CNN and Nancy Grace's personal makeup artist for years. And her and I did a lot of traveling together, worked with other networks simultaneously, and ran a company for 5 years in Atlanta, a very successful one during that time. Everything that was happening is what I had aspired to. As it was happening, the kids are growing up. And so when they're younger, there are certain things that you can like kind of navigate and maneuver your way around and balance out a lot better than when they begin to become more aware and they're older. And you saying, I'll be back soon, isn't good enough for them, because now they know what time it is and they can read the clock.
Yeah.
And they're watching the second hand tick, tick, tick around the clock. And they're like, you said you were going to be here at 5 o'clock and it's 5:10. And, you know, for me, with all of the traveling that I was doing at that time, you were always so supportive of that. The kids, it was just a matter of, as time was going on, doing homework on Skype at that time, or seeing dinner time on Skype while I'm here or in this state or that state, East Coast, West Coast, any number of places. As amazing as that was in my career world, because I try to keep things compartmentalized as I analyze them, it was wonderful because I made goals. I was working my butt off, doing hours and things that other people would just not be willing to do in their career. But I did it gladly because I loved what I was doing. I loved the people that I worked with. Our unique team, our small team, was family as well. But because in my life, for me, being a mom and being a wife, I can honestly say outweighs everything else. Not that it makes it irrelevant or unimportant, but when it came up to the point where I felt like the compromise now was becoming my children, was now becoming our family, and now becoming you, where you guys were always getting
the short end of the stick.
The short end.
Getting the shaft.
That was just not okay. And it seemed like the bigger my career was growing at that time, because it started picking up pretty fast. And then, you know, then it was like TV and all that stuff was getting involved into it, not just being behind the scenes, but being in front of the scenes. It was a lot that was happening. And so at that point, I had to make that decision. What am I going to do here? Because one of the mornings when I was getting ready, and I'm like rushing, it was a weekend morning. And so this is like company stuff with the bridal company. And so I'm like heading out to a wedding and We have artists that works for us. So we got to be there, get everybody set up and all of that stuff. So for London, she came in and she's always looking up at me. I'm doing my makeup and I'm getting ready and whatever. And she's at the age where she looked at me and she said, "Mommy, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. I want to be working all the time and always gone." And I promise you, I felt like every valve in my heart just stopped. Because as much as for me as a woman, as a Jamaican woman, as a Black woman, and my beautiful baby girl, and teaching her that she can achieve anything that she puts her mind to. And it's, you can have family, you can have a career, you can have, you know, your creative outlets and all of these different things. That was not the message I was trying to teach her in the midst of everything else. So I, at that point, felt like I was a runaway train, but she just completely stopped me in my tracks at that point, because everything was always happening so fast. The schedule was tight and everything was just, you know, so strategically organized for it to flow the way it was flowing. But to hear her in her space of innocence, that's what everything looked like, that was like, whoa, halt, hold on a minute. And so the reevaluation of everything begun, I feel, at that point. And so that's when I deliberately and intentionally started to make the changes in my mind and see how I could strategically let things go that weren't worth the time away, wasn't worth me missing the things that I was missing. And so how I felt about it, I felt at that point, I felt good. I prayed about it. I put things in place. You and I talked about it. We put things in place. And I honestly feel good about the decision that I made at that point to take things off the table, to the point where I took everything off the table. Mm-hmm. And it was just refreshing. It did take a long time afterwards. Not long meaning like, oh, months or a year, but it took weeks to like decompress and resort my thoughts and come off of career mode and just kind of land. And so I felt good about it. And one of the most rewarding things, because this was now speed up months later, because it's not like, oh, she said that and then I immediately, you know, it took time.
It was a process.
Yeah, it was a process. And when I came home that day, because she was so tired of me traveling, she had had it. Mm-hmm. She was so done with me and me getting my bags and going on the plane. But that day when I came home and I had my last day at CNN and my last day with Nancy and the show, and I came home and I told her, I remember she was laying down in her room playing, and I came home from work and I was like, "Guess what, Mommy? You have me all to yourself now." And she's like, "What do you mean? What do you mean?" And then she rolls over and looks at me and I was like, "That's it. I'm here now. Mommy's always going to be here." And then she's like, "Well, are you kidding? Are you kidding?" And I'm like, "No, that's Mommy's all yours." And then she hugged my neck so tight. She squeezed my neck so tight. Like she was, I didn't even know that she would have responded that way. Mm-hmm. But if I had any uncertainties on my 1.5 hour drive home from work, when I got there, for her to embrace me in that way and just be so excited about it, I mean, that was it. Mm-hmm. And so years have passed, a few years have passed. As I've talked to you before, I don't have one day that I have regretted that decision. It was a lot that came off of the table during that time. Even though there isn't regret, there is definitely times probably of more recent where I'm like, wait a minute, where is my career self? Like, where am I in this? Like, what do I want from myself as well? Because I am now so much in mommy mode and so much in being at home and being housewife and loving all of that feels so good to me. And I feel so blessed to be able to even have that as a choice, because it's not an option for a lot of people, you know. So I don't take that for granted at all. It's been so rewarding and it was so necessary, because there's a lot of things that has happened during that time that would probably have been a worse scenario had I not been there. And you have your career, you know, and you're working full time. So being able to set up that dynamic for our family, I am very, very grateful for it. And those feelings that came along the way, I think, are just normal feelings of trying to figure out, like feeling some days like maybe I've lost this side of myself, the drive and the career and all of that kind of stuff. Sure. Because I didn't hate it. I loved it. You know what I mean? But I didn't love it more than my family. So I felt good about it. As far as like with the move, I felt when you called that day to talk to me about the promotion and the position and being in LA, I think you threw it out there just to see what my response would have been. You're like, hey, how do you feel about moving to LA? And I was like, hey, let's do it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But then after that, it was like, was that a serious question, or are you just like testing it out?
Yeah.
But it was serious. And here it was, this opportunity in your career for you to then step up to the next level, which you're so deserving of. Like I said at your intro, I'm not gassing up because you're my husband, but you're so incredibly talented and such an amazing soul that these things you're deserving of.
Mm-hmm.
And so being at that point where this opportunity came to you for your career, for me, I was like, hey, let's put everything in place. Let's make this happen. And it's just like I said, it's like pouring gas into each other's gas tanks. I feel like that's what we've done all the way to here. You've done that for my career, for me to get to where I got to, all the way up to being on TV. Had I not stepped away when I did, things would have escalated beyond. And just like you said, you wouldn't have even entertained it, which would have been heartbreaking for me to know that this was presented to you and you wouldn't have been able to. So I feel like we're doing this, what is it? Checkers, chess, tennis, whatever goes, badminton, what are the ball goes across
tennis.
The net. There we go.
Tennis. That's good.
But yes, I feel good. I love it here in LA. I feel like the past year has been a shutdown. So this number year of us being here, year two can't really mm-hmm. count. But LA has been wonderful. I feel happy here and I love seeing you here. I feel that you're happy here too. Am I right? Wrong?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely am. And something that the way that I put it to the kids when I first told them back mm-hmm. in 2017, I guess it was, I said, hey, just think of it this way. This is an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this is probably the last great adventure that we're going to have as a foursome, as right. a family unit. Because at that time, our son was, you know, he was approaching his last year or so of high school.
Mm-hmm.
London was going into high school, and time flies.
It does.
So before you know it, I mean, hey, look, Arlington's already graduated. You know, he's in college.
He's in his second year in college already, for crying out loud. Yeah. And London, she's in college and she's in high school. And it's something that, a lesson that I feel that we've learned as a couple, is that time's going to keep on ticking mm-hmm. regardless of what's going on. So if there are things that you want to do, the amount of time that you take thinking about doing it,
that's true.
You could have just done it.
Done it.
Because it goes by so fast. And we've seen that with different things in our lives where we've thought about something so long. And by the time we realize, we're like, what? It's a year later. If I had just done it when I started thinking about it, would have been done and over with and on yeah. to the next thing.
Absolutely.
You know? So we are actually coming up to that area in our lives where I do feel comfortable in getting back out to start the engines rolling again for my career. Because here it is, our son's graduated high school, he's in college. Our daughter, she's in high school and college at the same time, and she's about to graduate. I'm so grateful that I've been able to have that time. You know, with this going on, it allowed me to say, hey, the show was going to be coming back out. Season 3 was supposed to be 2017 when we were originally going to be moving out, and then had a pretty bad car accident, totaled, back injury, the whole thing, plans and move had to shift a whole nother year ahead. Got here in 2018, and then a lot ended up happening at that point, and weren't able to get all those ducks in a row in a proper way without it just ended up being a thing, which I didn't want to do. So this year, with all that's been happening, it's like, oh my gosh, the time's ticking away, because it's so funny that around a few weeks, maybe a month before, I decided that's it. I started getting emails from like publicists wanting their people or their clients to come back to the show. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, why are all these people now all of a sudden? And then just randomly, people were asking me like, hey, when is the show coming back? I missed the show. And that was around the time where I was like, hey, what am I putting it off? What am I waiting for? Because tomorrow, next month, next year, there are no guarantees. And there's so much happening right now. And in the midst of all of the hardships and the negativity and everything out there, for me, it's always been about being a voice of inspiration or motivation, or that reminder, becoming that secret voice that reminds people that they are valuable, their feelings are valid, and just that space of positivity where this show, I feel, has now evolved from the seasons before, because just with time and growth and experience, it's supposed to happen that way.
Yeah.
If you're moving with the times. So it's just wanting to be a place of escape for people. Mm-hmm. But that escape has you in a space where you feel loved and seen and heard and valued and motivated, and you can laugh, and you know, you just leave feeling good, because it's about sharing information, because there's so many things that it's not for not wanting to know, but sometimes we're just so busy in life that we don't realize a lot of facts and a lot of things out there.
Sure.
So I'll be the nosy one. Search it up for you and bring it to you, you know, and that's my goal, is just bringing some laughter and enlightenment, inspiration, and tearing down some things that we just don't know about. Like, I'm a major fashion lover, and over the past couple of years, I've just been looking at another side of the fashion world that requires some kind of, what is it? Not recognition, but reveal. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the secret side of the fashion industry. Sure. And all of these different things. So hopefully over that time that we're together, I'll be able to share that too. You know, it's definitely important. And so with all of that and bringing this down to an end, one of the things for the listeners that I definitely wanted to share as well is that as we're going through this every day, silently, we're dealing with so many different emotions. Mm-hmm. And some days we definitely do just feel alone. And it's the research that I have been doing and looking things up, is just those reminders for everyone that's listening, for myself, for you, is that first and foremost, the way that we feel, especially during this time, is valid. It's important. And it should not have to be explained away like it's wrong. And it's okay for us to not feel motivated some days, for us to have our down days and just feel flat. A lot of times, especially on the earlier point, it's like you'd see people putting out messages, don't waste this time. You better come out on this, the other side of this pandemic, learning 10 different things and reading 20 books, and a lot of pressure as to, oh my gosh, if I don't come out on the other side with all of this, then I would have wasted the time. And so it's like, no, stop, please. Again, there is no outline for us to have as our guiding source as we're going through this. So, you know, there's days where you're not going to feel motivated. There may be a couple of weeks that you just can't get your creative energy and your juices. Yeah, can't get your mojo going. There you go. That's it. And so it's like this moment in time will pass. Like, these are the things that we have to remember to tell ourselves. And because it always does. When we're in it, it's just really hard.
But it's going through.
Yeah, it's the going through part that's very challenging. And when we're going through it, it's not like we don't know this, but it's just hard to feel it. Mm-hmm. During that time. The other thing too that I know is really just a part of me is cheering others on. So even though you might be in your state of frustration because you're not where you want to be, like, until your time comes, just continue to cheer people on, because your time's coming and it's going to come around where you are the one that's on the stage at that point, or whatever place that is that you're trying to get to.
That's actually a very good point, because I think the easy go-to that a lot of people end up doing is they'll end up, because they're in that space, they'll end up ripping people down.
And yes.
That's when you'll see it just, putting out venom and, okay, if I'm miserable, everybody's going to be miserable. That's crazy. But definitely don't hate, congratulate.
Exactly. Don't be a bitter Bob or a bitter Betty. And so, you know, it's like we don't have all the answers. And just remembering that we desperately want answers now because there's so much of the unknown, but we don't have all the answers. And it's okay to not have those answers. Nobody does, actually. So the anxiety that comes from the unknown, it's like just trying to be able to quiet that down and just trust the process. And as scary and as discouraging as the process in our lives may seem sometimes, it's like holding on to previous experiences where we did get through things and now we can look back and see that did work out, or this is happening and I'm going to be grateful that it happened this way down the road. So it's being able to hold on to those things and celebrate yourself, how far you've come, no matter how small of a gain it is towards the ultimate goal, just not undervaluing who you are and what you've done, no matter how small it is for that day. You may have, oh, I read a paragraph in the book today, or I made 2 phone calls, or I sent out an email, or whatever it is. It's just, you're still having to move forward. So celebrate yourself, reward yourself for every gain along the way. Remembering it's about the journey as well, not just
the destination.
There you go.
I agree with that. You're 100% correct.
It's really a challenging time right now, and that is for sure. And it's a time where every time you turn the news on, you don't know if you're gonna be like, what, which is usually
that's
what you hear coming out of me. But what I will tell you, like at the beginning of the show, I was saying, you know, that exclaim or that release, not necessarily that it has to be an explicit or something vulgar in a moment when these things are happening. Research actually shows that when we exclaim or we release, or we're the what or the what the whatever other things that people are saying, it's actually a very important release for us that is needed for our own mental health. It surprised me when I actually read that. So at no point in time did I think this could actually be beneficial, and I'm not promoting profanity or cursing, some form of release or exclaim within a moment that is scary or frightening or something tragic, or having that exclaim does trigger something in our minds that help us mentally cope with pain. It's the tolerance for pain. It's a stress release in that moment, where many times people hold things in and it's more detrimental than it is to be like, or that kind of stuff. So I'm sure the universe has heard a lot of that in this past 6 months. And so, yeah, that is it. But we are here. Season 3, no turning back. Thank you for being here with me.
Thank you for having me on this premiere episode of season 3. And I look forward to hearing the future episodes. And hopefully you'll have me back one day.
Absolutely.
Not next season, but, you know.
Before next season. Yes, in this season. I think that would be a great idea. Yeah, if you can fit me into your calendar.
It's going to be tight, but, you know. We'll see.
All right, guys, if you have enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, review, and share The Skinny with others. Let us know your thoughts, takeaways, and give your feedback on moments that stood out to you. It's truly important to us as we continue to evolve and grow this amazing community. If there are topics or guests that you'd like to hear on the show, please don't hesitate to drop us a line. You can always find us at our main portal, shayzon.com. That's S-H-A-Y, Z as in zebra, O, N as in Nancy.com. And for all the goodies and latest updates on the show, head over to Instagram and follow The Skinny Podcast. And for a peek inside the life of the voice behind the mic, which is my voice, follow at Shazon. You've been listening to The Skinny with me, Shazon. Thank you so much for sharing your time and light with me in this space where you are heard, seen, valued, and loved. And never forget, you are beautiful and deserve to live a happy and empowered life. Meet you back here next week for another episode. Bye. Mwah.